Just about no matter where in Arizona that rooster's crowing this morning, he's got a little frost on the beak, I'm sure. Woo! Happy New Year, Arizona! This is Volume 1, Edition 1 of Rosie on the House for 2015. You know, I'm still glad Y2K didn't get us. We're still here, we're still around, we're still kicking, and I hope you as well. I know it's a little cold out there, regardless where you are this morning, but don't let that stop you from contemplating what in the garden or in the lawn or around the house you'd like to talk about here at Rosie on the House this morning. You can reach us by shaking out from underneath the heated blanket, walking over to the telephone, and giving us a ring at 1-888-767-4348. The really smart ones have already got their cup of coffee poured, are already back in bed under the heated blanket, and are there with the radio on and the phone ready to dial. And again, Happy New Year from Rosie on the House here at the near the end of the collegiate football season. Kind of some big collegiate surprises. Congratulations, ASU, for a great win over Duke.
They made it interesting.
Yes, they did. Yes, they did. And they broke every Duke heart on the planet. Duke has been trying to get that bowl victory now for how long? 30 years?
They really have. You know, they're playing under the shadow of that basketball team, and they've had a pretty good football team the last couple of years. So.
And those darn U of A Wildcats, except for just a couple dropped passes, that game was theirs.
Yep.
Oh, man.
Should have had it.
Congratulations to both ASU and U of A for the football season they had. Certainly one of the best years for each of them, and combined together it was great.
How about that Pac-12?
How about that Pac-12? Yeah, and let's not forget about NAU. You know, NAU hanging there.
They had a good year. They just missed the playoffs.
That's right. They had a good year. So we're here always talking football, just as a sideline. But the major topic right now, this hour, with John J. Harper, who you've already heard, is landscape and gardening and irrigation, all issues and topics that may seem a little under the weather right now, but we've actually got some questions we want to cover from online. My son and co-host, Romy Romero, is here to help host the show. Jennifer, my wife, is here to answer your call and do the call screening and get your name and question. Mike Reish, our broadcast engineer, here as well with Mr. John J. Harper. Romy, it's this time of year every year. We go to the same topic. That's one thing about landscape irrigation. It's very topically driven.
Topically timely and consistent. And it's rose time this year, or this time of year is rose time in Arizona. And it doesn't matter what part of this state you're in lower elevations, there's probably somebody near you that is hosting something. For example, today at Harper's Nursery at their Hot Dog and Horticulture is their annual rose pruning.
Right, first Saturday of every month, we have what we call hot dogs and horticulture. We cook hot, give free hot dogs away, cook it right there on our outdoor kitchen that we built with our landscape design company, and we talk about something topical today, as we have done every January for about 30-some years. We have one of the consulting rosarians from one of the local rose societies. Today is Ryan Rieger, who's done this for us for the last number of years. Ryan's a Mesa East Valley Rose Society rosarian. When I called him the other day to make sure everything was still good to go, he was out pruning roses, practicing, he said, for the event. So he's all practiced up. You know, January is a time to, you know, we just don't get much rest in the garden. And it's time to get those Christmas lights down and get everything put away. And if you've got roses and deciduous trees, fruit trees, like apricots, peaches, plums, shade trees that have lost their leaves for the winter. Time to be getting all those pruned. But really, roses is what we start on first, and it's you want to prune them. I know that they probably have looked as good or better than they've looked all year. November, December really are better than our spring roses a lot of times. But if you want those beautiful roses this spring and again next fall, this is the critical time to prune them back. And there's a couple of things that you really do need to know. It's not that daunting or that difficult, and it's not that technical, but it's a whole lot easier if somebody shows you rather than us trying to tell you over the airwaves, you know, where to cut, how to cut, how many to leave, that sort of thing. So, and it depends a little bit on what kind of roses that you might have. So, great opportunity today at 10 o'clock at our location on Hayden Road, just south of Thomas, 2529 North Hayden Road. Bring it. We have quite a bit of seating, but it never hurts to bring your own folding chair. We have everything set up out in the sun today. A lot of times we have our classes under that big live oak tree, but now today we'll be out on the Bellegarde patio.
Okay, good.
The Bellegarde paver patio, right out in full sun, where you can listen and learn about roses, and then have a little hot dog, a little snack to take you back on your way to fuel up so you can get home and prune your own roses.
For Tucson in southern Arizona, you can get to the Magic Guard Nursery, where our horticulturalist partner Tony Serra will be having his today at 9 and tomorrow at 11 at the Magic Garden Nursery right on 22nd Street and Pantano. So,
and for our northern Arizona friends, we have a snow shoveling demonstration at Mortimer's at noon. No, don't show up at Mortimer's. That's a joke. Good storm that moved through this week. Boy, we were out riding horses around Geisela and Rye yesterday. Oh, it was just absolutely spectacular.
There had to be snow there.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
There was snow, first time I've ever seen it. We drove over New Year's Eve day to see the grandbaby, celebrate Christmas in Southern California. And the hills just before you go in and drop down into Quartzsite had about an inch of snow on them.
Don't see that very often.
So that was pretty spectacular.
What was the snowfall line? I mean,
that's way under 2,000 feet.
Oh,
there.
Morristown got snow.
McDowell Mountains got snow. We woke up to
it had
New
to be
Year's
down
Day
to like
nice frosting,
1,400 feet.
Yeah, probably. Yeah, I would say 1,200-1,400 feet.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
Absolutely beautiful.
So I heard a lot this week, now watch out for the hard freeze. What's the difference between a freeze and a hard freeze?
Well, of course, 32 degrees is freezing, right? So if we have a 32-degree morning for an hour or two, which is probably about what most places had this morning and maybe yesterday morning, that isn't really a hard freeze. That will do some damage on soft things, like if you had a tomato plant left over, maybe a basil plant that was unprotected, maybe some of the really tender things like hibiscus, maybe the tips of your Cape honeysuckle, and maybe the blooms on bougainvilleas. Those probably got nipped a little bit. A hard freeze would be when we get below, and it's subjective, of course, but my definition of a hard freeze would be when we get below probably 30 and we stay there for a number of hours. So let's say it hit 30 degrees at maybe 2 or 3 or 4 in the morning and stayed that way till 8 or 9 or 10 o'clock. So for 5 or 6 hours of below probably more like 30 degrees is really a hard freeze, where we start getting damage to certain, you know, maybe some trees, maybe that it freezes things down more than just tip damage. Maybe you've got to prune half the plant back. Maybe it even kills, you know, certain really tender things like hibiscus or perhaps young, newly planted bougainvilleas and lantanas. So certainly it doesn't take much to damage tomato plants and, you know, bell peppers and basil, those things that really shouldn't be growing this time of year anyway, quite frankly. So those things are going to get pretty damaged. But a hard freeze is the temperature and the duration that it stays at or below that temperature.
And when we're covering the gardens this time of year, for those of us with the gardens, are we removing the frost cloth at lunch every day? Or can we just, in nights what we're expecting, mm-hmm, a series of 29, 30-degree nights. Can we just leave it there?
Absolutely. If you use a lightweight frost blanket-type material like the white frost cloth that the sun actually penetrates through, it's probably just as effective, if not more, to leave it on and let the sun warm that up during the day so that you do get some heating under that. It's the most effective way is to actually have those things, you know, propped up so they're not laying on the plant, because even with frost cloth, when we get a good frost or a freeze, anywhere that made contact with the plant, you're going to have some damage. Now, the idea of covering is to prevent catastrophic damage or deep damage down into larger stems and roots and in the main canes of the plants. If you lose a few leaves or you have some damage where that frost was laying on the plant making contact, that's just a little prune and it's done and it leaves back out, no problem. But if you don't want to have any of that, make sure that your cloth or material is not even making contact with it. But getting back to that, unless it's going to rain or get wet, I would leave it on. You know, talking, you know, I think through this morning, tomorrow, there's no freeze warnings again. So a couple, 3 days doesn't hurt anything.
And again, it's using the right cloth. If you happen to be a painter, don't use your drop cloths out there. Probably way too heavy for a lot of
Well, unless you had some
plants.
Way to hold it off the plant. You know, that's a lot of weight. That we used to use a lot of burlap. You know, and all of those work, especially if they're a cloth-type material, canvas or cloth or something that, you know, is kind of somewhat breathable. Where we get into trouble, you know, is don't use those blue tarps, clear plastic, any of the plastics that will actually then get colder than the air itself and trap then that cold air underneath the plant for long periods of time.
Last quick frost question comes from Cecilia. Mm-hmm. They've been eating their citrus the last couple of weeks, and it's been wonderful. They wanted to know, will it freeze all the way through and ruin my fruit? Should I pick it all and bring it into the garage, or will it be fine out on the tree?
Great question. It takes sustained temperatures between about 26 and 28 degrees to start doing damage to fruit. So unless you're in one of the really cold areas, most years, you know, like this last couple of mornings, we did not get anywhere near that cold for that long to do any damage in fruit. Then the next variable in that is what kind of fruit do you have? Limes and lemons and probably the tangerines, the mandarins, are going to be the most affected by the length of cold. You get up into the bigger fruits, the sweet oranges, the tangelos, the grapefruits, it takes even longer and colder to really start doing damage to those. So there's no issues like we've had the last couple of mornings.
We're in the garden, and you could join us at 1-888-767-4348. That's 1-888-ROSIE for you.